We're a couple of minutes past the top of the hour. More people are signing in. Let's see, Dennis, and I don't know, do you want to go ahead and start off by discussing the community calendar situation thing? Or just jump right into one of the topics?
I'm okay with that.
Talking about the community calendar or the topic.
Community calendar.
Okay. Are you can do you want to let me I'll post the link if you want to talk about it.
I mean, yeah, I'm just kind of curious, if folks have heard other SIG groups talking about this initiative. Or if it's really brand new. And obviously we're coming up to a year again, so it's going to be a new year. And I think we readjusted this calendar a couple years ago. I can't remember if it was last year that we changed our schedule a little bit, but I'm wondering if folks are happy with the current schedule, or we've had a few cancellations, so I'm not sure if it might make sense for us to go down to, I think I was thinking we meet every second week, Tuesday and Friday, so technically we still meet once a week, although it doesn't quite work out that way, maybe. In reality, but yeah, it's I'm just wondering if maybe we should be meeting twice a month instead of once a week. So maybe one Tuesday a month, one Friday a month, and see how that works. But up to the
That
group.
Kristen has her hand raised.
I mean, I'm not an official member of the product council, but we did talk about this initiative at the App Interaction SIG, and then I was at the product council meeting yesterday where Jennifer Eustace shared what the Data Import SIG is doing, and then also Jeremy and Charlotte talked a little bit about what their goals were around this initiative. And I think there is a recognition like we're not in the same sort of like high pressure development phase of time that we were with Folio. And then also I think a recognition like at least for those of us that are in the US, we're facing a lot of headwinds in our academic structures, and so positions that maybe would have been filled otherwise are not, so people feel like their staff are shrinking. So some of what I think when Jeremy was talking about this was really meetings do get canceled on occasion, but what if we sort of deliberately worked in a process so that people would have a week where they really had that time free to catch up on those things that maybe aren't Folio or even things that are Folio but are not meeting heavy. And so I know that Data Import SIG, and I don't know if Jennifer posted now to the acquisitions channel or not. I know she's been posting in various spots. What they're going to do is they're going to have Data Import be like the full SIG meeting every other week where they work through topics with the PO. And then on the off weeks, they're going to have what they call their lab, which is really more of like an informal, like, let's get together and you're having a problem, so show me what your problem is and let's talk about it. And then maybe those will be things that go on the agenda. But they're also going to follow the PC's planning, their calendar calming planning, and if there is a month where it, you know, that's the week to cancel, then they won't hold a lab. And we noted on that planning document that like almost half of those weeks, there's some sort of a holiday associated with them. So they probably would be canceled anyway. This is more of a planning, like, you know, you got Easter, May Day, the July 3rd is right around that last week of June, or, you know, July 4th, like the Independence Day in the US. You've got Thanksgiving in the US, and you have the December holidays. So it's not as like those probably would be canceled anyway, or they might just be lightly attended. We did talk in the app interaction group also about subgroups finding tr having trouble finding time to meet, just because there's usually just this brief window of like 4 to 5 hours where people actually overlap, and even that, we've got, it's a little early for some folks. Like this meeting time's very early for Dennis, and so this might help with freeing up some time. So I was not sure, like from the app interaction talk, I think there was some concern from like Vivian. I can't remember Vivian's last name, about like where different SIGs were at with their development, and not wanting to cut off necessary meetings or prescribe like you can't meet. But I also, like listening to the product council conversation yesterday, really appreciated the sense of like, if you do want to reduce meetings, coordinating the week of meeting reduction is really helpful too. So I'm not sure what we're going to do in app interaction yet. It's also like acquisition SIG where the meeting times vary. Like 1 week they're at one time, and the next week they're at another time, and then they go back to try to catch people and work with schedules. But I think, but we're going to talk about it some more in the new year. And PC is definitely going to go ahead and do at least the cancellations through the first quarter and then see.
That sounds really good. I'll let Susan follow up on that conversation, I guess. Let's see how things go. And when Susan starts the new year off, she can look at that. She gave a thumbs up, so we'll let her follow up on that for the new year. So the next topics, I know, let's see, did we want to finish up some conversation from the last meeting? I don't remember exactly where we needed to follow up on that. I don't, is Joe here yet? Joe, I don't know if you remember exactly where we needed to pick up from the last meeting, or if you just wanted to go ahead and start talking about the your UI questions for batch closure of the budgets.
Yeah, so last week we talked a bit about column display order in bulk editive POs. And so next up is talking about the column order and PO lines. But I do want to talk about the budget stuff first, if we could just in case you can't tell, we're thinking a lot about batch tools and making your work more efficient. So we're looking at a number of things, but let me go ahead and share my screen here. So we'll stay just with the whole batch thing for a little bit. And so I was originally thinking in terms of bulk edit for budgets, but then it occurred to me we've got this batch allocation tool that's coming out and that's out in the Sunflower release. And it might make more sense to use that rather than bulk edit because it's already familiar and the people who are going to be doing the work in the budgets are likely to be. Yeah, they're likely to be the same people doing the allocations. So I think it just makes sense to keep this one familiar interface. So let me show you what we're kind of thinking of here. And if you could just provide feedback on that. So the specific use case that we are actually thinking of is when you have historical budgets. And I know there's at least one library out there might be a few that don't necessarily close their budgets out in fiscal year rollover, and then they have to go back and close out those budgets, or there may be a need to go back and retroactively make other types of changes to those historical budgets. So what I'm proposing is that under the allocation tools, we add a manage previous budgets tool. This would be somewhat limited in scope because there are obviously certain things you do not want to do retrospectively. But just like with the batch allocations tool, it would show a list of fiscal years, so you have to work within a fiscal year, but it will only show historical fiscal years. So anything earlier than the current fiscal year can be edited under the historical allocations tool. So we select fiscal year 2024, and we get this same batch edit screen as we did before. And here you have the ability again, you can edit fund statuses, budget statuses. If you have a need to change encumbrances or expenditures, you can do that. And you still have the ability. Did we blank out the transaction descriptions? I was intending to allow for transaction descriptions and tags to continue to be used because there may be a need to do that. But I'm adding an additional button that's like an actions button that will just set all budgets to closed. So if you've done a fiscal year rollover and you did not close out your budgets, this will simply go through, you hit that button, and everything gets set to closed. If you say, oops, I didn't want to do that, we have a reset all budgets button, and doing that will, doing that will reset the budget to its previous state. I don't know that we need to use the recalculate button. So this screen assumes that we're using a recalculate button. But because we have allocations disabled, I don't know whether it's needed. I'd like got additional feedback on that, whether it's useful. Just because it does then show what the new status is. But we're not doing the same financial validation, and it will continue to indicate anything that has not changed. And then when we reset that, then it will trigger all the these have not changed alerts. So I guess the question is, does this make sense? Does this work? Or would you prefer a different way of going about doing that? Not seeing a lot of feedback here. Okay, Kristen,
Kristen,
I see you.
yeah, I don't have feedback for you. I don't think Scott is here. I did reach out to him and he's not answering, so I can't remember if he's already left for the break, but I think he's the one who would need to respond on behalf of Chicago here.
Okay. Lauren, I see you have your hand up.
I wanted to comment on the recalculating of budgets. I just yesterday was working with a library that had canceled a very large invoice, and they had about 20 funds that were impacted by it. And I know that canceling invoices has been one of those places where it's been a little tricky to make sure all of the budget totals get sorted back out. And so I feel like there may actually be a use case for being able to kind of batch recalculate budgets in the instance where you are impacting a large number of funds through a cancellation of an invoice or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a slightly different use case, simply because the recalculate doesn't recalculate the actual budgets. It recalculates the math on this screen.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry about that. No, this
No,
is,
that's okay.
yeah, this is derived from the original batch allocation tool, where when you would increase an allocation, you would do recalculate so that you could actually see what are the new allocations, just as a final sanity check, to make sure that the new allocations are what you actually intended, but also because we need to do validation. And sometimes when you do the validation at the point of save and close, funny things happen if there are errors. And it made more sense to do a pre-validation here so that you could correct any errors rather than deal with any number of toast messages. So, yeah. But I will take that feedback about being able to recalculate after canceling really complex invoices because that is good feedback. So thank you. Okay. Is there any other feedback on this? If not, I will move on to the other issue. Okay. Yes, see, Lisa. MSU closes budgets when we roll over, but we didn't. This looks like an easy way to close them. Thanks. That's kind of what I was looking for. And again, there might be reasons that you would need to go through and make certain changes for historical budgets. For instance, if you had an endowment or some a gift or endowment or something, and you spent it down completely and you didn't document it, you'd have a chance to. And yeah, I do believe most libraries do close budgets when rolling over, but some libraries don't. So we needed a way to do that less painfully than going one by one. Okay. All right. So thank you for that. And without further ado, we will now switch over to order lines. So last time we met, I discussed bulk editing orders. We're doing the same thing for order lines. And this one gets kind of gnarly because there's just a lot of stuff that's displayed in the order line. And once again, I generally tried to follow the patterns that are laid out in the PO line. So let me go into Bug Best. And we'll just find a random PO and open up an order line so we can all look at it together. We'll do an ongoing order line. Okay, so looking at the order lines, the order that I'm thinking, and please do feel free to speak up. And please do feel free to interrupt because, as you can see, there's a whole lot. I don't know, we need to go super into detail for every little piece, but I really want to make sure we've got the important ones and that we've got good defaults. So, obviously, the very first column, I believe, should be the PO line number. That should be set by default. The UUID should be available, but not necessarily on by default. The created on, I believe. I feel like that ought to be displayed by default, but I can be convinced otherwise fairly easily, just for date purposes. Whether it's a package, so the package checkbox should be available. The title from the PO line, so it's going to look at this title rather than the instance title. From. Then, if it's a subscription, it will include the subscription dates, linked package POL number, acquisition method, whether automatic export is enabled. Order format will be displayed by default. And the reason I put order format down here is it's behind all these other things here on the display. So it's behind the acquisition method and automatic export. source donor selector requester, claiming active, claiming interval, binary active, cancellation restriction. So all of those buttons. Then we get down to receiving workflow. That once again is a default, as is vendor name. Does it make more sense to have the name or the code as the default? Or would you prefer both?
Well, the code is shorter. I don't know if that matters or not. I think the name would be more unique, or identifiable.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to keep the number of defaults to a dull roar, but realistically, you're probably going to end up side scrolling. So there are arguments both ways. I guess the question is, what are you more used to working with, the code or the name?
I think what displays on the PO is the full name, right?
I think so.
I mean, it doesn't even display on the POL.
You're right,
So it's
but
got
you're.
to be coming from the PO level.
The name Lisa commented that the name displays in the POPOL, and Kimberly commented that for vendors with multiple setup accounts, the code might be more specific.
Where's the vendor code on the POL?
I think the vendor code is actually
I think it's only in the PO. Or am I missing something?
I believe it's in both. But maybe not. But I th
I'm with Kristen. It's only in the PO.
it might be a hidden field in
Yeah.
here because it's associated by because it does have a reference, but I feel like it's in there. And
At the
regardless,
bottom of the POL, it's called something else. But it fills when you create an order, it fills in whatever you put as the vendor in the PO. It fills that field with the same vendor. I think it's supplier.
material supplier
Yeah.
under physical resource details, and then I
Yeah.
know if you have an ebook what it calls it, then probably something else.
Yes, right here.
Yeah. So for us, most of the time, it's exactly the same as the vendor.
Okay. The other thing I'm thinking is that because POLs operate independently of POs, I was thinking you're probably going to want to have some mechanism when you're working with POLs to know who the vendor is. So even if it's not,
Absolutely.
so. That's the other question is, even if you can't edit it, you probably want to know what it is. So, all right, I will change the name default to the code default, but both will be there, and I'm certainly happy to re revisit that. So we have plenty of time to think about it. Vendor reference number. I'm also going to keep their is also going to be in there by default. Vendor account number and then the price information, so piece price. But I do want to include the estimated price by default, the fund ID by default, and the expense class by default. Do we want other information to appear by default? From a design perspective, I decided to leave off the physical unit price, quantity physical, additional cost, electronic, and quantity, just because unless you're dealing with a PE mix, you're going to have a lot of empty spaces and it's going to take up a lot of horizontal space. And the estimated total price, I think, at least gives you a starting point, and then you can split it out. But if I'm mistaken in that assumption, please let me know. Okay. Then underneath that, so then we have the fund breakdown, value type amount, and then holdings. We have this select holdings. That will be a default field, so you know what holdings it's applied to. And then the holding quantity, physical and electronic. Does this order work for people, or should I reorder this? I realize it's a lot to throw at people. It's a lot to think about. Which is why I basically tried to mirror this as exactly as I could. The one exception being that I wanted to move the POL to the top. I also excluded a lot of item details because that's actually an inventory section rather than a POL section. So to make those edits, you would do those with the inventory or the item bulk edit rather than the order line bulk edit, other than the title. I know this is drinking from a fire hose first thing in the morning on Friday. Sorry.
I mean, it looks as good as anything to me. I think trying to keep the same order makes sense. And moving the POL line number first makes sense too.
Okay. If there are no other comments, that's largely what I wanted to cover today, just to make sure that what we're doing makes sense and that I'm not missing any important default information that people are going to want to see. We will have a couple of other chances to review it, and I will be running UATs. That this is several months down the road before we get to thinking about UATs, but we will of course be doing that. So be thinking about that as well. And of course, I'll give you plenty of heads up. Okay, with that, I think those are the big things that I really wanted to cover today. So I'm going to stop my share and pass it back to you. So thank you very much. This is helpful.
Joe, we don't really have anything else for the agenda. Does anybody have anything they want to bring up, or we can have an early ending and get 30 minutes back? I don't want to jump in too soon and not give anybody a chance to talk to just go ahead and say, "Yep, let's end it." But we can go ahead and unless anybody has anything, we will go ahead and end it. And I know a lot of us will be starting our holiday break here soon. So enjoy the time off. And Susan will reach out probably through the Slack channel and we'll start figuring out a January next year, 2026 schedule. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holiday to you.
Thanks,
Had a
everyone.
Happy
Thanks,
holidays.
everyone. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.